Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And please keep in mind that human beings are not capable of original thought. Me first among them. We're not. So it's up to you to try to figure out what original thought I'm talking about. So just try to deduce that for yourselves. While you're trying to deduce that, let's talk about some of the events of the week, even though I have less and less interest in the events of the week as time goes by. I want to warn you about that, but I'm working to keep myself interested, although I'm not yet taking drugs to keep myself interested, unlike Sammy Bankman-Fried, who this past week, he went on trial, and they let him do a dry run testimony, which I don't know that they do that for normal people. Can you imagine Tyrone, who's been arrested for carjacking in Jersey City, being allowed to do a dry run, testify before, take the jury out of the room, let you do a dry run, Tyrone, just to see how it goes? I don't think so. But Sammy Bankman-Fried got to do a test dry run, and it went very badly because he's so guilty and such a horrible, awful human being. His lawyers have requested, they've requested more Adderall for Sammy because they say he has a hard time paying attention. Because he was taking so many drugs before he came to jail that now that he's in jail, he's not getting enough drugs. And of course, the solution to the problem, according to Sammy Bankman-Fried's lawyers, are more drugs. They say he's not able to concentrate at the level he ordinarily would if he were not in jail and were able to take drugs nonstop. His lawyers were advised by the court that there's an ongoing Adderall shortage in the United States, even though Sammy's in jail. And a lot of people thought that was why there was a shortage, was because of the Sammy Bankman's organization vacuuming it all up. But apparently the shortage continues. The request was made to Judge Kaplan. He made a request for more Adderall back in August. His lawyers had requested that he be granted uninterrupted access to Adderall, whatever that means. That means even if he's in a cage like a rat, he still gets to tap the little beaker that spits out the something like that is what he asked for. And that's from the drug-induced stupor file. Why is there a shortage of Adderall? Because so many people are on it that... Can you imagine the drug lords in South America looking at the Adderall business and wondering how they can get in on that? Because, like, legal manufacturers can't keep up with the demand. And the guys in Bogota are like, now that's how you do this business. We could take a lesson from these people. All right, so there's Sammy Bankman-Fried and all of that. Meanwhile, let's go to the Asian century, which the 21st century, we were told, was going to be the Asian century, the pivot to Asia. Remember the pivot to Asia? Do you remember that? He asked. Is extremely attractive. Audio engineer. You remember the pivot to Asia? She doesn't remember the pivot to... She remembers a pivot to America from Asia. It's quite some time ago that we pivoted. The pivot to Asia happened, just trust me on that. And the 21st century was going to be China's century until they killed all their babies starting in the 1970s. So that's right. So 50 years later, the Chinese population growth, the number of newborn babies in China has declined from 18 million per year in 2016, which was already paltry. 18 million a year, that's in a country of a billion plus people. That's pretty paltry. And now it's fallen to fewer than 9 million this year. So the newborn birth rate has halved in just a few years. And so the 21st century will not be China's century, nor will it be America's. Because, you know, all the kids here are just taking speed and they're not having babies and they're playing video games and putting anime stickers on their Hondas. And so whose will it be? Whose century will the 21st be? If not America, if not China. Well, sadly, it might be a century not of the ascent of anything or anyone. The 21st century may be a century of simply paying the piper. That's all. No ascent, just paying the piper. And so we all want to be prepared for that. And that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview. We're here to help you be prepared to pay the piper, because the piper shall be paid. Okay, from there we go to, well, from China with the collapsing birth rate. That's astonishing, by the way. In 4 years, for the birth rate to drop by 50%, I mean, what's going on there? Normally that would be astonishing. But so many astonishing things happen so fast anymore that it's hard to be astonished. But trust me, that's astonishing. Almost as astonishing as this from the Like a Suicide file. Canada, now in Canada, 4% of all Canadian deaths, 4% are the result of euthanasia. 4%. That's astonishing. That's right. People can now be euthanized in Canada for depression, homelessness, or mental illness, whatever that means. I think people can be euthanized in Canada for asking to be euthanized or suggesting that they're just uncomfortable and maybe unhappy. And then the salesman steps in and says, let me tell you about euthanasia, how you can help your grandchildren, help your country and be a great Canadian. Make Canada great again. Kill yourself. And a lot of the hapless, moronic, godless Canadians, they buy into it because they're hapless, moronic, godless, all of that. Up in Canada, they are expanding the euthanasia laws, is what I meant to say. Euthanasia laws. Try to say that. They're expanding the euthanasia laws to include mature minors. What is that? What's a mature minor? Is that a minor that Trudeau has molested? Is that considered a mature minor? Is that or someone in his cabinet has? Is that? Yes, and they're also pushing to expand the euthanasia laws to be applicable to infants. Infants. Now, how an infant is supposed to request euthanasia is difficult to comprehend, but they will work out all the details in the law as it's crafted by the MAID committee. And the maid will make sure all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted, and everything's done perfectly legally when they euthanize infants. That would be already born children. That would be different from the children in the womb that they slaughter by the hundreds of thousands already there in Canada. All right, so from Canada, we descend to Oregon. If it's possible to descend any lower than Canada, it is. It's in Oregon. And we go to the state of Oregon for reason number 1040 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. That's right. It's reason number 1040. 1040. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the same as the tax return. Why did I mention that? Because I just paid an extraordinary amount in taxes, and I want to throw something overboard off the side of a ship, and I understand why all that happened now. It's astonishing that I convince myself I'm a free man, yet the government is taking approximately 40% of everything I earn. And now I'm going to stop talking about it because I'm going to get angry and I'll say something and someone will kick in my door and take me to jail. And please, thank you, sir. May I have another? Is what I meant to say. Now we go to Oregon for reason number 1040 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. The state of Oregon. The state of Oregon has declared that in high school, Students will no longer have to demonstrate basic comprehension of reading, math, or writing in order to graduate from high school. I said a basic comprehension of reading, math, or writing. Now, are there any of those three? I think those are the three R's, aren't they? Those are the original three R's. And up in Oregon, they're going to say, or no, they're not going to say, they've said, you don't really have to demonstrate that you understand any of that. They say that the deletion of reading, writing, and math from high school is necessary to guarantee higher graduation rates for minority students. At which point, every black guy should look back and say, what'd you say? You saying I can't read? I don't know math, huh? You saying it? What you say? What you say? Right? I mean, you'd think that the brothers would be insulted by the implication that they can't read or write or do math. And so, well, I'm sure that there are some black people in Oregon who are offended by that, but they've probably already pulled their kids out of the government schools. They're not even aware of these rules. So anyway, the state there in government? Yeah, it's a state, all right. The state of confusion in the government in Oregon is what I meant to say. Say that what they're doing is they're just putting a pause on the basic requirements for graduation. The pause was first implemented during the coronavirus panic and hysteria that particularly enveloped Oregon. And they're just going to extend the panic. I'm sorry, not the panic. Although in Oregon, they're probably still panicking. They're going to extend the suspension of a basic comprehension of reading, math, and writing through 2028. So that will be 8 years without reading, math, or writing in the Oregon government schools, which is just about enough time. That's how long it took the Hitler Youth to go from fourth grade to charging across France on amphetamines. That's 8 years. That's right. 2028, the year we expect Western civilization to have officially collapsed into a third world cesspool, approximately 5 years from now. So if you were looking for a sign of the end, this is just one that I'm just going to put out there that's a possibility, okay? I know there's a lot of things going on over in Israel right now that a lot of my Christian brethren insist are the fulfillment of end times prophecies, and we should all get ready. And I think the 8-year suspension of reading, writing, and math in the government schools is a bigger sign, at least for America. Now, speaking of signs of the end of the world, let's go to, where was this? This was in Orlando, Florida, which is the home of Disney World, where parents take their children. I went up to Los Angeles last week, and I had a meeting just outside of Disneyland. And it was eerie, early in the morning, sitting at a red light on a street in, what was the name of the city? It's the city where Disneyland is, and I forget at the moment, but it's the greater Los Angeles area. Anyway, there were people, adult grown people, without kids, crossing the street, and they had Mickey Mouse ears on, and they had Mickey shirts.
Anaheim.
So I'm in Anaheim, and literally adult people in their 30s, 40s, no kids. I saw a handful of kids. It was adult people, it was as if they were hypnotized. It was bizarre. It was 7 o'clock in the morning, and these people are, anyway, it was weird, okay? But now let's go to Orlando, which is Disney World, which is different than Disneyland in that it's in Florida. And out in Orlando, they had a gay pride parade, a pride parade in October, which I'm wondering, what? What? There's a Pride Parade in Orlando in October. What's up with that, first of all? But there you have it, because eventually it's just going to be Pride 24/7. It never ends. Well, out in Orlando, the Grand Marshal of the Pride Parade is an 11-year-old boy who his mother says he's a girl, and she dresses him up like a girl and then lets him march in front of a parade of homosexual men, which means she should be immediately arrested. And the there's an interview in the local press with the 11-year-old abuse victim, the child. And the child says being transgender is not about choice. The child said this from the stage in front of the equivalent of the guys who surrounded the house in Sodom. The guys who surrounded the house where Lot was trying to hide. This 11-year-old child is giving a speech in front of that crowd. And the child said, being transgender is about being true to myself. It's about embracing who I am, even when the world tries to tell me otherwise. It's about standing tall in my identity. At which point God struck the crowd blind. No, unfortunately, he didn't. The child's mother, this abuse victim's mother, is a school teacher from Long Island. And she says of her son, when he was 18 months old, he started wearing girls' clothes. And then the mother says that her son said, I'm a girl in my heart and my brain. Okay, Mom, I don't believe you. I don't believe your... She says this when he was 4 years old. I don't believe a four-year-old said, I'm a girl in my heart and my brain, Mom. I think you're criminally insane. And you should be arrested. Oh, she said that was when he was five. Although earlier in the article, the mom said that the boy started his journey into transgender femininity when the child was 18 months old. And so there's a tell. First mom says it was 18 months, then she says it was 5 years. And you have to ask the mom, so when was it, Mom, when the child was molested under your care? Was it when he was 18 months or was it when he was 5 years old? And whatever it was, all this should be asked in the presence of a judge. View. That's right. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. I would say it's good to be here, and it is in a general sense that life is good. But this is why I'm losing. Interest. It's hard to read things like that, and just shake it off and go on as if we can just go on as if everything's okay, because it's not okay. In fact, let's go to Colorado. This is a story. I remember driving in Colorado early one morning on my way to work and hearing about this story and physically breaking down and crying in my car because I heard this story. This was less than a year ago. Oh, yeah, maybe it was about a year ago now. A group of teenagers who killed a 20-year-old woman by throwing a rock through the window of her car and killing her. They had been throwing rocks at moving vehicles for about 2 months before they killed it. Now, listen to how... This is from KTVU, local news. This is from the Just a System file. KTVU News reports that... So you guys remember this story I reported on. These maniac teenagers threw a rock through this innocent 20-year-old girl's window and killed her in her car. The news reports that they had been throwing rocks at moving vehicles for about 2 months before their actions allegedly resulted in a fatality. Their actions resulted in a fatality? Okay, the allegedly I understand because they haven't been convicted and urinalists are taught to always say allegedly. But to say that their actions resulted in a fatality? Okay. So this is the story of Alexa Bartel, who was murdered by these fiends, these cowardly little bastards. The news says she died after a rock flew through her windshield. Oh, a rock flew through her windshield. Okay, so I'm not going to name these punks because I'm not going to say their names, but these three teenage punks, high school punks, murdered this girl by brutally and viciously attacking her in the middle of the night. Listen to this. So they called themselves Blood Brothers after they killed her, after they knew they killed her. How did they know they killed her? After noticing that they had struck Bartel's windshield, the three suspects turned back around and drove past the victim's vehicle to observe the damage. One of the bastards is accused of taking a photo of her vehicle as a memento. Why is he accused? Because police have the photo on his phone, geolocated to the scene at the time when they murdered her. It's not just an accusation. That's why. And so the yet the justice system and the urinalists, by the way, they caricature themselves while rubbing the noses of all of us in their sanctimonious liturgy of their innocent till proven guilty dogma. Long after proof of guilt is obvious. And then, of course, these killers, these heinous, subhuman, evil bastards will be publicly spared death themselves. And instead, they will be fed and clothed for the rest of their lives, or a significant portion thereof, by the victims' families. The victims' families will fund the comfort of the girls' murderers for decades. And then they'll likely be released for good behavior. And because by 10 years from now, nobody's going to go to jail for anything if things don't change dramatically. And so my heart bleeds for the parents of Alexa Bartel. I cried in my car because my daughter's about the same age. I can imagine her driving home at night. And how I would tear these bastards apart with my own hands is what I would do. I would be in jail. The bailiff, he better be a big, strong guy. He better be big and strong. Unbelievable. It's been a year and these punks should be dead. They should be publicly executed so that every little teenage, rotten little demon in his heart should be terrified to do anything like that. But instead, they're going to rub our noses in it, rub the parents' noses in it. And what good can come from that? Oh, God only knows. All right, now, let's just check in with the Daily Mayhem file. Because the justice system is what it is, and as exemplified there in Colorado, this is what we get, is just daily mayhem and bloodshed. My extremely attractive audio engineer commented to me on Thursday. She said, oh, there's been another massacre. I said, oh, yeah, there was. Doesn't hardly make the news. And not that she doesn't watch the news anymore, but Even just getting online to check your email, typically you get like the big horrible story, but it's just not that horrible anymore. Anyway, the maniac who went on a killing spree in Maine shot 18 people to death, apparently killed himself at his former workplace where he had been fired and made to be uncomfortable and unhappy. So he was an uncomfortable, unhappy guy. And in the past, an unhappy, uncomfortable guy would become an alcoholic or go live under a bridge or at the worst commit suicide, which is tragic and horrible. But now they go on a shooting spree and just massacre people and then kill themselves. which is immensely worse. Anyway, his sister-in-law said that she thought he might have been looking for his girlfriend at the bowling alley where he shot the place up. She also said that he was a wonderful human being, but he had started using high-powered hearing aids and insisted to the family that people were talking about him, that he could hear them talking about him at the bowling alley when he wasn't in the bowling alley because he had the high-powered hearing aids. And he believed he was hearing people say things about him. His sister-in-law says he had an acute episode of mental health. Okay, I don't know if I would put it that way, but he definitely had an acute episode. And so whatever's going on in a guy's life, if you start hearing voices telling you to massacre people, well, I don't know. I try to imagine how I would respond if the CIA were buzzing messages into my brain. Murder people, kill people, slaughter people. I mean, could the CIA do that to me? I mean, that maybe they can. Maybe they can put radio waves in your brain and they bounce off the COVID shot and the graphene makes the... so you can't get away from it and you hear it. I don't know. I personally would not shoot up a bowling alley no matter what anybody told me, even if it was Satan himself in my ear. I just wouldn't do it. So I think this guy had some significant problems. The most significant among them is he was a godless human being. And so if you're godless, you're weak-minded by definition, and you're easily manipulated. And you can be manipulated primarily by your own delusion is what I would guess. The hearing of voices, I don't know if I buy into all that, or the CIA beaming voices into people's heads. I don't think I... the 5G and the graphene, with the I don't know if I buy into all that. I think the guy was a deluded, godless, pathetic human being. And then, of course, on Halloween. Now, Halloween's coming, so everyone's celebrating, of course, because, you know, it's such a big holiday. Where was this? In Florida, 18 people shot, 2 dead amid celebrations across the country ahead of Halloween. That's just, and that does barely make, that's just a night out in, where was this? I can't even pronounce the name of the city. It doesn't matter. Anywhere USA where the pagans and the heathens and the godless animals are celebrating their evil holiday, Halloween. So they'll just shoot each other up because somebody will be depressed and angry or offended, or someone will have left the party with someone's girlfriend. And instead of doing whatever, they'll just shoot, you know, massacre. But that's what you get. I hope you enjoy. Happy Halloween! All right. Now, reason number 1,041. To get or keep your children, even plural if you have more than one, to get them out of the government schools is because the teachers are trained Marxists. I have a story here written in The Federalist from Daniel. He is a teacher in Wisconsin with a master's in education. Okay, oh boy. Probably a very impressive fellow, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's hear from Daniel. Teacher in Wisconsin, wow, with a master's in education. Anyway, this article is directed toward conservative parents from a teacher who's not a flaming froth at the mouth leftist, but he is a teacher in Wisconsin with a master's in education. So I just want to let you know. He says that teachers' preparation programs offered at major universities are not getting the job done. He says the programs neglect serious readings. Instead, we read popular books and watch Hollywood movies. And teachers are taught that this is how they teach in the schools, is through reading popular books and watching Hollywood movies. He says the curricula from the most prestigious teacher prep programs in the country lack any engagement with classical education. The most popular authors are John Dewey and Paulo Freire, a Brazilian Marxist who cited the Maoist Cultural Revolution and the Russian Revolution as the ideals of his thought in action. And this author at the Federalist, who is a teacher in Wisconsin with a master's in education, says that the teacher's Marxist training leaves us unprepared for real classrooms. Shazam, he realizes after getting his master's degree, that he's been bamboozled and he hasn't been taught how to teach kids anything at all except Marxism, apparently. He says many teachers know no alternatives, though thankfully they exist. So he goes on to claim that there's an opportunity for teachers who've been completely brainwashed and programmed in the Marxist education system. He says there is help. You can join the Restoring American Education Project to blah, 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 blah. They've partnered with the blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter what he says. So if you have matriculated in the university system and you've received a degree in education in the past 50 years, you are not qualified to teach. You should not be allowed to teach. Maybe your own kids, if you've gotten out of all that and repented of all that. Well, not maybe your own kids. You should be allowed to teach your own kids if you've gotten your act together and recovered. I mean, people who've been brainwashed into various cults and maniac organizations, they have been able to come out and get free and clear of all that. So it's possible to escape, but it's not possible to stay in the system and be qualified to teach. You should get out, that's all. And if you don't want to get out, you don't know the problem, which means you're not qualified to teach. Daniel, the teacher with a master's there in Wisconsin. By the way, Wisconsin is the birthplace of American communism. Anyway, Daniel, with his master's in Wisconsin, he never says get out and do it yourself. He never says get out of this Marxist education system and just learn how to teach kids how to read and write and spell and comprehend. In fact, even if you can't read or write, even if you can't read or write yourself, get out. Don't go to college. You'll do more good and less harm than the government Marxists. It's the Weekly Worldview. That's right. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. I already told you it's the Weekly Worldview, and if you're listening, you already know that. Because long gone are the days when you could be driving in your car, and you could have the radio on, and you could accidentally hear something. Somehow we need to figure out how to do that with the internet. Because nobody accidentally or incidentally hears anything anymore, and I think the devil likes that. The devil likes the fact that nobody is going to accidentally or incidentally stumble over the gospel anymore because everyone's on their own channel and their own subscription and they're only getting their own podcasts. And that's why the devil wants to get rid of AM radio. Although the Christians pretty much destroyed AM radio already, but there were still a few beacons of hope on the AM radio and the gospel was still being preached. I shouldn't say that in the past tense. It still is. And perhaps AM radio will continue. I personally prefer it myself, but what can I do? I'm only one guy. All right. Now, let's go to the big news, the big political news of the week, of the month, of the century. Well, wait a second. Maybe of the millennium. That's right. The Republicans have elected a new House Speaker. And the crowd went wild. So, yes,
I didn't know that.
You didn't know. Well, missed the big story of the millennium. I had a I had a listener sent me a message somehow asking me. He mentioned this guy, Mike Johnson. He's the speaker. Is it good? I can't remember what he said, but I emailed him back. I said, quick, who was the speaker in October of 1959? Or I gave him some random year off the top of my head. And he didn't know. And I said, nobody knows and nobody cares. And I said, 20 years from now, nobody's going to care. Mike Johnson, his name is already, you can't hardly even tell who he is. So I mean, he's already Mike Johnson, for crying out loud. You think anybody's going to remember this guy? Anyway, but I know he's been positioned as let me see here. I've got a quote here. Not a quote, but an attribution. Which story is it here? An attribution that he is staunchly pro-life. Mm-hmm. That's according to Breitbart. He has Christian conservative viewpoints. He is staunchly pro-life. Staunchly, by the way. And he opposes the LGBTQ plus activist agenda. That's Mike Johnson. That's right. And we're going to get into, but before we get into that, Mike Johnson. Yeah. His name will go down for the ages. This is the big story of the millennium. Newly elected House Speaker Mike Johnson. He's a Republican from Louisiana. He says Providence played a key role in his speakership victory. That's right. Providence, not politics. And he says there's no coincidences in life directly contradicting Jesus Christ. Oddly enough, because he is a staunchly Christian. He says that, let's see, he said all this as he spoke to the chamber. He spoke to the chamber pot there in D.C. about his belief in God. Oh, no, his belief in God's plan for his life and for the lives of his fellow lawmakers. He said, I believe that God is the one that raises up those in authority. I believe God has ordained each one of us for this specific moment in time. So that's pretty presumptuous, you know. God ordained you to be the speaker. Wow, you must be a very impressive fellow. I'm impressed. Somebody should communicate with Mr. Johnson that God ordains human government, and he ordains authorities and principalities and powers. He does not ordain any specific person, and for you to say that he does is an extraordinary example of hubris. Johnson then went on to vomit out the stock platitudes of every Republican ever in my entire life. He of the American people, he says, we're going to serve these extraordinary people. In this great country, our republic, a beacon of light, of hope, of freedom, and the people of America, why did they get me? Because they deserve it. He says they deserve me. Uh-huh. In fact, God ordained, the American people are so great that they ordained me to be their speaker because they deserve it. I mean, he didn't say it exactly that way, but he's got the fundraising email went out on Saturday. I got a fundraising email from on Saturday. He told me I deserve him. In fact, I deserve him so much I should send him some amount of money. Anyway, Mike Johnson, if he were a staunchly whatever, if he were a Christian, and I'm sure he is. By the way, I don't want to say he's not a Christian because you know you believe the gospel, you're a Christian. The bar's not that high. I'm sure he's a Christian. But if he had any wherewithal, first of all, he would not be in the House of Representatives. So there, right there, he's unqualified. The fact that he wanted that office, that disqualifies him. He should have called immediately that the entire chamber removed their $3,000 Italian suits and their Italian shoes, put on sackcloth and ashes. And he should have called for a national period of repentance and begging God's forgiveness for our manifold sins, especially the sins of those right there in the chamber where he was speaking. But of course, he didn't do that because that would not be popular. It would not be popular to call attention to the fact that we're all guilty of these manifold sins and we need forgiveness and we need God to guide us. Father in heaven, please help us. Show us what we should do. That would not be popular. And, of course, we are ruled here in America by popular opinion. And we're going to find out what happens when the popular opinion is loves Halloween, hates Jesus Christ, and is hateful and wicked and confused and angry and suicidal. And Mike Johnson doesn't even realize that's happening right under his nose right now. And so we should all pray for Mike and everyone who's in authority, as we're told by the scriptures. We should pray for them. They need help. They need prayer. Okay, so we'll do that. And meanwhile, let's check in with Mike Johnson on the Love and Marriage file. Among Speaker Mike Johnson's Christian conservative viewpoints, according to the writers there at Breitbart, they're the ones who said he's staunchly pro-life, and he opposes lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, plus activist agenda. The activist agenda is what he's against, because he doesn't understand that he should be against the whole, like, lesbians and gays and bisexuals and transgenders. And people who are questioning their own sexuality should be against that, because it's ungodly and it's wicked. But he's only against the activist agenda because that's what he knows. He's a Republican. He can't help himself. Anyway, people are noting that he has entered into a particular kind of marriage. Have you heard about this? He asked. It's extremely attractive. Have you heard about his particular type of marriage? She didn't even know who he was. She's never even heard of the guy. So he's in what's described as a covenant marriage. This is a new kind of marriage. Check this out. In a covenant marriage, both parties agree that the marriage will be for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. That's new. That's new. I know. What a concept. This is... let's see. Both parties receive premarital counseling before their wedding, and they agree to marital counseling if and when they consider divorce. Couples who have entered into a covenant marriage may divorce in limited circumstances, including infidelity, physical or sexual abuse, a spouse committing a felony or using illegal substances, or if both spouses have been living separately for 1 or 2 years. So covenant marriage is just like regular marriage. It's just for self-righteous legalists who like to make a show of their religion. Yeah. But otherwise, it's just like marriage out in the suburbs everywhere all the time. And so Mike Johnson is a self-righteous legalist, spiritually, scripturally shallow, lightweight, who needs my prayer and my advice. And I know it sounds harsh that I would call him a scripturally shallow, lightweight, but he needs to hear that. And I'll pray for him that he will elevate from his current status by seeking God and the scriptures. He did tell everyone to read the Bible, which I appreciate that. That's better than, pointing them to a Bavarian Marxist like they do for all the teachers that, for all the schools that he's funded for his entire political career. Okay, now let's move on to more politics. The Yahoo News has reported that Jenna Ellis was one of Trump's lawyers. She's pled guilty in her conspiracy to overthrow the election in Georgia, the show trial, the Marxist show trial going on there in Georgia. Now, she's the third high-profile lawyer to plead guilty to. I'm not sure what they're pleading guilty to, because when you read it, it's like, what? That's not even a crime. But this is why it's a Marxist show trial. Three high-profile people. According to AP, she was one of the people pushing baseless legal challenges to Democrat Joe Biden's 2020 election victory. So that's when you know you're reading the Pravda, the equivalent of Pravda in the United States. That's the Associated Press. Baseless legal challenges to Democrat Joe Biden's 2020 election victory. baseless? Okay. So that's okay. I'm not even going to go there because it's obvious. Anyway, Jenna Ellis, listen to this. She was sentenced to 5 years probation, restitution, and writing an apology letter to the people of Georgia, and testifying truthfully in trials related to this case. And I read it. This is actually in the plea agreement that she has to testify truthfully. She has to write a letter, first of all. Okay, so that's a Marxist humiliation ritual to make people give a public apology for political crimes. And now she's been sentenced to testify truthfully. And this has never occurred, as far as I know, this has never occurred ever. Because in court, you're assumed to be testifying truthfully. In fact, you have to swear to testify truthfully under penalty of law. It's already in there. Right? It's the whole, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What? And now she's been sentenced to tell the truth. This is, right? It's the judge called testifying truthfully a special condition of her probation. In addition to the Marxist humiliation ritual of writing a public apology. Jenna, by the way, Jenna Ellis, who says she's a Christian, she should serve as an example to every Christian out there. This is what happens when you trade allegiance to biblical morality for a law book and political ambition. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That's right. Thank you. Welcome back. So we move from the sentencing to testify truthfully of Jenna Ellis and the humiliation ritual of writing the official letter to the people of Georgia, apologizing for something that she did that was not a crime or even immoral or maybe not that smart because she may not be all that bright. But questioning the outcome of an election? From there we go to Representative Jamal Bowman, who is the Marxist, communist, piece of garbage Democrat who pulled the fire alarm during debate. He's been sentenced. He reached a plea agreement with the Attorney General of the United States, by the way, which is a serious thing. He has to pay a $1,000 fine, and he's been sentenced to issue a formal apology, Soviet style, just like Jenna Ellis. Why? Because we're being governed by Soviet officials. Folks, the Marxism I mentioned earlier that the teacher in Wisconsin talked about, the fact that teachers have been educated as Marxists, it's been going on for 50 years. So the people who run the government are Marxists because they were educated as Marxists. And so we are headed into a very dark period of American Marxism. And the thing about America, folks, is we do it bigger and badder than anyone ever. So hold on to your hat. It's going to get interesting, to say the very least. And listen to what the American-style Marxism has produced. It's produced the justice system, of course, because in America, being an American Marxist means we're tolerant of all forms of deviance because of our foundation in liberty. So we have the advantage, you see, of Marxism paired with unrestrained freedom to do whatever we want. Imagine how that's going to work out. Well, here's an example of it in Las Vegas. You remember the two teenagers who live streamed themselves running a guy down with their car on a bike. You remember that, right? Shocking story. They appeared in court this past week. They appeared in court laughing at each other, smiling, and flipping off the victim's family during a court hearing. Hey, Sue, I'm not going to name their names. They were back in court more than 2 months after they, listen to this, the New York Post says they allegedly recorded themselves intentionally murdering, they don't say murdering, but I'm going to, they allegedly recorded themselves intentionally plowing into Andreas Probst, a 64-year-old guy on his bike, who they killed. So note to the folks at the New York Post, they didn't allegedly record themselves. They actually recorded themselves and they live streamed it. We've all seen the video. There's nothing alleged about it. But we understand that you're journalists and you have to report things a certain way. But could you just not be so Marxist about it? Could you at least imply that someone is guilty here? I mean, after all, Andreas Probst is actually dead. He was actually run down. So anyway, the two teenagers appear in court covering their mouths to suppress their laughter. The New York Post goes on to note that they are minors charged with murder and they're being tried as adults. Why? Because in America, in the courtroom, everyone is playing pretend about everything. You're allowed to lie and pretend and get a plea agreement and confess to something you didn't do or confess to something that's not even a crime as long as you go along with whatever the show court and the show trial and the show judge wants you to do, because that's all it is anymore. One of the killer's mothers said, quote, "I don't know if God can forgive this," unquote, she said about her son. So what does that mean? That means she does not know God. Right? She doesn't know God, because if she knew God, she would know that God can forgive this. He can forgive even a demonic little punk intentionally running down an old man on the side of the road. She should know that God can forgive that, but she doesn't know that because she doesn't know God. And without some intervention, neither will this little murderer. And not only will he suffer for just being a rotten, evil human being, he'll also go and be damned to hell forever for what he's done. So I guess we pray for this kid's mom and him, that, and pray for the family of the victim, and just horrible. In Maryland, meanwhile. Andrew Wilkinson was a judge in Maryland. He was a judge in Maryland up until he was shot and killed at his house by Pedro Argote. Pedro shot and killed Judge Wilkinson, who was the judge presiding in a divorce hearing that included Argote at the time of the murder. So here's a judge presiding over a difficult and uncomfortable divorce case. And the husband in the divorce case was highly offended by accusations that were made and that the judge went along with. And so what was the husband's choice of actions to deal with his anger? He killed the judge in the judge's own house. And so as much as we mock lawyers and judges here because of some of the ludicrous, outrageous, Marxist, crazy things they do, as much as we mock and judges anyways, their position is ordained by God. The position of a judge is ordained by God. And the increasing environment of violence will mean that at some point there will be no secure justice for any of us. Not only freedom from criminal activity, but no intellectual property, no ability to enforce a contract. All of that is going to go away because of the increasing environment of violence. And this judge, this is a harbinger. What happened to this judge is going to happen to the entire justice system. Slowly but surely. I mean, I hope it's slowly. I hope it's not catastrophic overnight, but I don't know. So there's never been a marriage of Marxism and American freedom. That's never been married up before into a worldview, into a political operating system. Unrestrained freedom combined with Marxist ideology. Where does that go? It's going to be ugly. There will come a point where we will only be able to secure justice and ourselves by violence. That will be the only way, because that's what's coming our way. America and the West have for so long enjoyed the fruits of a civilized society. They enjoyed it so long that they ended up abusing it. They abused the blessings of God-given liberty and freedom that were secured by our forefathers. And we abused them to the point where we created an industry of crime. And an industry of civil litigation for profit. And so that system that we created and corrupted and abused, that even that will be taken from us. And it will be replaced by a system of brute force. And America will get what she deserves. And so that's why we pray for our leaders, and we pray for you, and we pray that we can just ask God, please show us what to do, because he will show us what to do, and as uncomfortable as it is, we can do it. But if that doesn't happen, if we don't ask God and follow his advice and seek his grace and preach the gospel, that's the main thing. Because just whatever happens here on earth, That's going to be peanuts compared to people going to eternal damnation. That's going to be the bigger deal. Here on Earth, well, we can see how that's going to go. 7 days after the massacre in Israel, 7 days later, 100,000 people joined a pro-Palestinian rally in London, supporting radical Islam, flying Antifa flags, and the banners of various socialist organizations. They were allowed to chant in the streets of London within a week of the massacre in Israel, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. They were allowed to carry signs calling for the Muslim armies of the world to enter the fight against Israel, and they were allowed to chant Allahu Akbar out loud, the Islamic war cry. And so we can see what's coming. Meanwhile, in Minneapolis, by the way, being the birthplace of the Big Flinch, if you remember, Minneapolis was the city where the governing officials allowed a mob to burn down the police station and chase away the police. An event from which I declared America shall never recover fully, never. There will be no recovery from that, Big Flinch. And so what happened in Minneapolis this past weekend? Pro-Palestinian protests erupted, and they look a lot like the BLM riots of 2020. This is according to Zero Hedge. Why do they look like BLM riots? Because they're made up of many of the same people, many of the same organizations with the same political agenda. That's right. The Palestinian protests, the alleged Palestinian protests, are predominantly manned by far-left groups like Antifa. Their primary goal, by the way, Antifa is an openly homosexual organization, and the Palestinians in Palestine, allegedly, if you're not aligned with the right political party, homosexuality is punishable by death. So how does all that work out? Well, it's the same as marrying Marxism to the American cry for freedom and America's long tradition for unrestrained freedom. It's the same way all that's married up. It's a mashup of wicked, awful evilness that's going to end very badly for a lot of people. Let's see. Oh, the video. The video in Minneapolis of this confused elderly guy. This will break your heart to watch the video. They mob this guy's car. They're attacking the guy. He's terrified. There's literally video of this confused, terrified elderly guy crying in his vehicle, terrified that he's going to be killed. And he's afraid to step on the gas and just plow through the crowd that's terrifying him for fear of his life. And this is a perfect picture of the American male today. His life is threatened and he doesn't even know what to do. He doesn't even know what to do about it. This poor guy finally ekes his way out of the crowd and somehow manages to survive. So the protesters there in Minneapolis employ a tactic of blockading traffic and then mobbing vehicles. When people try to defend themselves by striking the protesters with their vehicles, the protesters claim they were attacked by the driver, and then they take them to court, and then they win. So the tactics used in the streets of Minneapolis during these alleged Palestinian protests are designed to get someone killed and to stoke hatred. It's the same thing that's been going on in Gaza for 40 years. And so the justice system that's been abused now becomes a hate machine that's used by the enemies of God and the enemies of peace and righteousness. And it's all going to be increasing exponentially in the face of an increasingly godless, Marxist, brainwashed population. So just flee from it. Flee out of it. Don't participate in the pop culture. Don't participate in the educational system. And seek the wisdom of God through the font of original thought, the Bible. And tune in to us once a week. If we remain interested enough to hang around and keep doing this, we will. Until then, may the grace of God go with you. May the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week.